Hello, friends. I'm your host, Christina, and you're listening to Radical Stepmoms, a podcast about the good, bad, and really ugly moments about raising a child that you didn't create. Here, I'll discuss the realities of co-parenting, the way stepmotherhood affects a marriage, the relationship with our stepkids, and most of all, navigating the relationship with ourselves. I want each episode to leave you feeling validated, empowered, and oh so radical. So pour yourself a LaCroix, a glass of red, or whatever, and listen in on Radical Stepmoms. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to Radical Stepmoms.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So I grabbed you straight through my DMs because I think you responded to one of my stories and kind of shared a little bit about your life and situation. And you disclosed to me that you are a bio mom. So you have an ex-husband. You are also a stepmom and you have ours babies.
Yes.
And I was like, girl, I want to talk to you. So thank you so much for agreeing to come on and share your story.
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me. And your reaction is also very similar to most people's reaction.
Yeah. Like what? I mean, yes. You have 7 kids between all of you. Like,
yes, 7. Yeah. And their ages are even crazier.
Okay. Let's dive in. Okay. Let's go straight into, tell me about all of it, just wherever you want to start. I'll ask questions as we go.
Yeah, we can start from the beginning. So our timeline is bananas. Like as soon as we knew, like, yes, you are the one for me, we hit the ground running, which is where the high conflict comes in. But my husband's name is Joseph. And so him and I actually started working together in 2013. We were both PE teachers at a middle school. And so he was already working there and I started working there. I was the new female PE teacher. And we were literally living 2 separate lives. Like his wife was pregnant with their 2nd at the time and they have 3 altogether. My oldest with my ex-husband was 2 or 3 at the time. He was like in the process of buying a house with his wife. Me and my husband weren't even engaged. So we were just like in 2 very different places. Right. And there was nothing romantic that ever occurred. Like it was just literally like 2 separate things, right? Mm-hmm. So for me in my marriage, I'm on this like personal growth journey and like in like digging deep within myself, I'm learning about intuition, right? And mm-hmm. So going back to my wedding day, like there was just something in the back of my mind that told me like this probably is not the best thing for you to do, right? But I felt like I should do it. Like I had to do it. Like we have a kid. This is what we're supposed to do. Like this is what everybody expects of us. So we need to do it, right? But deep down, like I knew that he was not my soulmate. Like he did not set my soul on fire. Like, and a lot of our marriage was like me begging him to like be the husband that I wanted him to be. Right? Like I wasn't allowing him to be himself. I just needed him to be the perfect husband for me. And part of that was being present. Right. And that just wasn't that was not his priority at the time. He did not think that he needed to be present. So anyway, I got pregnant with my 2nd one with my ex-husband. And during that pregnancy was when I decided, this was 2016. I decided like this pregnancy just solidifies everything I thought. Like nothing is going to make him want to be in this relationship, right? And he has to want to decide that on his own. Like I can't make him do that. And so I had my 2nd daughter with him January 2016 and I told him that I wanted a divorce in April 2016. Wow. And then I started dating my current husband in July 2016. So everything happened really fast.
Yeah. And where was your husband, your now husband? What was his situation when you guys started dating?
So we never spoke to each other about our marriages. But I think once he saw, because I showed up to work and I told him and two of our PE aides, I said, look, if I'm a hot mess, it's because I told my husband I wanted a divorce. Please, like, just bear with me. Like, I'm trying to work through these days as they go. And mind you, I had a newborn, right? And I said, like, please just bear with me, blah, blah, blah. So I think that kind of set off a light bulb with him. Because he was also not happy in his marriage. And it's oftentimes easier to stay, right? Instead of leave a relationship that just isn't working for you. And so I think that was a light bulb for him. And so in April or May, maybe like late May, he told me like, hey, I need you to cover my class. I'm going home. And he like had tears in his eyes. And I'm just like, this is crazy, right? And so then when he came back to work the next day, I'm like, hey, what happened? And then that's when he shared with me. He's like, I can't be with her. Like, I know that this isn't for me and this isn't making me happy. And by this time they had three.
And there's been nothing in between the two of you romantically at this point.
No. Mm-mm. And so he had two and three back to back. So his second and third are 14, 15 months apart, 16 months apart. And so it just all kind of like happened super fast. Right. And then we sort of bonded over our stories of divorce and the difficulties of it. And then obviously having kids involved. And because of that, we just hit the ground running and we had we already had so much in common because obviously we both, you know, chose the same profession. And so I think that added to it. And then also just know, like, he was never a stranger, right? Because I knew who he was. Like, I spent Monday through Friday with him. And so I never had to question like the type of person that he was. And so, like I said, like over those 2 months and just bonding with him, we hit the ground running in July 2016, and we never looked back. And it's cool because like, this is what it's supposed to feel like when you find your person, you know, and it's like, we never crave time away from each other. Like, It feels so good, like to do what you know is true to yourself and not what everybody else around you expects. And I think that's the hard thing for so many people to understand. But it's an amazing feeling.
Yeah. So, I mean, when it comes to like the relationships now, because now you guys are together, you have your ex and are co-parenting with him. And he has his ex. So can you kind of speak to what the relationship is like with your ex?
Yeah. So things with my ex are actually really great. In California, child support is always like a big thing. We don't do child support, my ex-husband and I. And that's just with us. Like on paper, it's there, but I don't expect it. I don't ask for it. I don't want it. And he just trusts that I'm not going to go back to court because we've had those open conversations. And so I say that because I feel like money is oftentimes the root of so much conflict. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of mental health issues right after the divorce. Like he went from, I'm going to show up at your work, I'm going to beat him up, blah, 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 to like being able to coach a basketball team with him. And so and I'm so proud of my ex-husband, and I've told him this before, but what I've noticed with him is that he really took the time to find counseling, find a therapist, really do that inner work. Like, he's just such a different person. And I'm going to get teary eyed thinking about it because it's I've said this before and I've posted about this before, but I feel like because I was brave enough to choose divorce, like my daughters now get to experience the best parts of both of their parents. Right. And had I not picked this route, they wouldn't have received this side of their dad. And I think what he's learning, and I don't want to say too much because it's his story to tell, but I think what he's learning is just so much of his childhood is where things are rooted. Mm-hmm. And so, but again, by he would have never known this had I not, you know, said, hey, like this relationship just doesn't work for us. So I'm super proud of him, and he's just come such a long way. And I think that is what really speaks to, our positive co-parenting. And it makes me so happy because I see it in our daughters. They are 5 and 10 right now. And they're so carefree. They love to hug him, and they can hug me, and my little R's babies, they even run out the door and go hug him. And it's amazing.
That is amazing. And I think, I mean, you said it, that it really takes the other person to see, you know, I'm not going to blame everything on my partner. I'm going to, you know, process that and find the supports and help that I need, not, you know, focus all my energy on making them miserable for the rest of their lives. Right.
Yes.
And absolutely. You mentioned, before we hit record that he is engaged. And yeah. So that person is going to be a stepmom to your kids.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
I actually really, really like her. And, you know, she was introduced to me really early on at one of our daughter's softball games. Also in 2016, I want to say it was October 2016. So
that was a big year.
Girl. Yes, it was. And she was just very sweet. Like she had... she came off very genuine. She even, 5 years now, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 5 years later.
She was using her fingers.
Yeah. even 5 years later, like she still seems to have the same intentions. And I can tell that she genuinely loves my girls. And that's really all I can ask for, because I hear so many horror stories of, you know, like kids hating their stepmoms, or like stepmoms being so awful, or bio dads having to like go elsewhere because stepmom just doesn't want to deal with the kids, you know? So I really do appreciate her. And I don't think I've ever said this to her, so maybe I should.
Yeah. See, it's so interesting that you carry like both roles, because I speak to a lot of stepmoms that they're like, I don't want to be around when, you know, the kids come. And I want to speak to that just for a second there. And that sometimes, yes, kids can be super nasty. Sometimes kids can be, you know, if they're teenagers or whatever, but I will always encourage stepmom to look deeper, because we have inner work to do too. It's not just the other side that needs to do the work to accept us. We have to process and do the inner work and figure out, you know, what is triggering this for me? What's upsetting this for me? And is it less about kid stuff and more about how your partner is when they're around the kids? Because I talk to a lot of stepmoms that are sick of the Disneyland dad type of shit, or the stepmoms that feel like they are pushed to the side when the kids come over. And that's not a kid related issue. That's an issue with your partner. So right. I think it's interesting to hear you say that, where it's like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can look at those stepmoms like they're monsters for sure. Yeah. I mean, we wear that hat very well, yes. Ladies, but but it's also, you know, something to be said about, yeah. And that's an indicator that if you are a stepmom that identifies with that, you know, we have to do our inner work too. So, yeah, it's, go ahead.
And you know, it's interesting because, looking back on sort of the 5 years that I've, you know, been interacting with her, there's one time that I could remember just like truly like being not the nicest person. I wouldn't say like a bitch, because I was not that mean, but it was almost like cold shoulder type stuff. And it had nothing to do with her, but it was with everything with where I was at in my life. So at the time I was super pregnant with my youngest. I had, so are ours babies are 13 months apart, right? So I had a 1-year-old, and then I had like this big old belly, and then I had a 3-year-old, and then my daughter was 8 at the time, and she was playing softball. And so it was at a softball game, and I was like waddling around everywhere, and she was the team mom all of a sudden, my ex-husband's fiance, right? And my ex-husband and I, like I said, we get along really well. He didn't, like, we talk about everything, and he did not bother telling me, like, hey, just letting you know, so-and-so decided to volunteer for stepmom because nobody wanted to step up, and she was able to do it, so she did. And I was already feeling like the worst mom ever, right? Like, I couldn't make certain things because I was so tired. Like, I had a 1-year-old who also was like an infant because she wasn't even walking. And then I had a 3-year-old, and then I was still working full time. And so I just felt like the worst mom ever because just, you know, just the mom, the natural like mom guilt.
Mom guilt, yeah.
Yes. Sure. And so I think had he told me like, hey, do you mind if she steps up to be like team mom? I would have had a different reaction, but because I was so blindsided, like that is the time that I remember just like not being so nice and not being like, hey, how are you? I would just be like, like put my head down and walk to the other side.
So from this, that I commend you for kind of acknowledging that, and that just, I did a post today about how oftentimes it's not really about us. It's, you know, there's other things that are going on. But I'm wondering from the stepmom perspective, if he would have asked and said, hey, do you mind? Which my husband doesn't ask, and you guys have a different relationship.
Yeah.
But my husband, we have high conflict. He doesn't really ask bio mom for shit. He doesn't say, do you mind? Because she's going to say no.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if he would have asked you, would you have said, yeah, sure, totally. Like, would you have kind of swallowed that whatever initial feelings and then just use that to kind of prepare yourself?
I think probably in the point that I was in my life, I probably just wouldn't have taken it well regardless. But I do remember telling him, like, why did you not run that by me? Like, that is not cool. Right. So I think that was my biggest trigger. So maybe, but if I'm being honest, I'm not sure, because I was in such a, like, I was like drowning in motherhood in at that point in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's drowning in motherhood. That's a great analogy, but it's also super vulnerable place. Like,
yes.
Where that, I mean, all of it. And you're not only kind of still in that postpartum state, like, girl, you didn't even give your uterus a break, but
basically
you're like postpartum and also like just about to, So that's very interesting. I love that I'm getting these kind of different perspectives where you're also a stepmom. So so let's speak to that a little bit, where, you know, you are now navigating the ex who he walked away from. And what is that relationship like?
Non-existent, very high conflict. I definitely relate to your stories when you talk about like these anxious feelings that you get whenever you know that you guys are going to cross paths, or if it's a transition day. I 100% feel that way. There was one conversation between the two of us in 5 years, and I thought that it was going to get the ball rolling in the right direction. But In comparing my ex-husband to bio mom, right? They were both left, right? Like, meaning that it wasn't their choice to end the marriage. But the biggest difference that I see between the two of them is the inner work, right? My ex-husband has, he will acknowledge his wrongs. He will make therapy a priority, whereas bio mom, I can't afford it. No, I don't want to do that. If you try to call her out on something she's doing wrong, no, she's never wrong. So, you know what I mean? And it's that is the biggest difference I see. Like, at some point you have to stop playing the victim, and she has not done that yet.
And it's been 5 years.
5 years. Yeah.
So how often do you pull, like you think about her? Do you think, like, how do I say this? I want to use the word judge. Do you judge how she responds to things wearing your own bio mom hat? And you're like, I don't understand why she would do that. Or how, or do you really interact with her from your stepmom role? I'm just so curious about this. Like,
yeah. Cool. I'm just going to be honest. I don't get it. Like, I am so absolutely confused by her. And I really try to empathize. Like, I don't even come at it with like, oh, she sucks. Like, she's the worst person ever, because I don't think that, right? Like, I think that her intentions are good, but I just don't think that that light bulb has gone off in her head and has allowed her to see, like, man, this does not have to be that difficult. And to answer your question, I do oftentimes, I'm like, I wouldn't do this with my kids. Like, it doesn't make any sense, you know, from anything, from extracurriculars to school stuff to, you know, I saw one of, I forget if it was your post, but there was this one where, one of the stepmoms said, like, I would gladly take 10 steps back if bio mom took any steps forward, right?
Absolutely.
And that is very much how I feel. Like, we do all the medical appointments, we do all the extracurriculars, and mind you, we have 7, we have all the excuses in the world to logistically not want to get this done, or financially not want to get this done, right? But
does bio mom, is she with someone else?
There has been multiple. The pattern that we've seen over the 5 years, I would assume this is very similar to yours, if I'm remembering correctly, but there's probably one serious one every year with just kind of like a few in between. Mm-hmm. There is somebody now, we haven't met him, the kids have, but we hear great things about him from the kids, but our concern is obviously just how long is this going to last? Is it, you know, is it for real? But we don't see a difference in her behavior. If anything, she'll drop the ball a little bit more, like on her days when she has a significant other, whether it's vacation plans, travel plans, you know, but.
Mm-hmm. I'm a researcher in a lot of ways, the way that my brain thinks. So I'm like, that's why I love doing like polls on stories, because I'm just like, oh, I want to get data and see. So, because here's what where my brain goes, where I'm like, okay, well, it might be safe to think that, well, bio mom is the one that, you know, like you said, she wasn't the one to choose to end the relationship. So that might, you know, really breed a lot of resentment and anger and all that kind of stuff. But I have to say, in so many of the stepmoms that I've spoken to, that doesn't even really matter. Where there's stepmoms that have cheated on the spouse, you know, multiple times, or they're the ones that continue to get back together, break up, get back, you know, it was on them and they're still mad. So
right.
It's like, I'm like trying to find like, okay, what is the exact recipe to create a high conflict bio mom? Like, I think I have like a little bit of like, you know, yeah, it's
like one of those sayings where it's like, you can only meet somebody as far as they've come, you know, and if they're not willing to, you know, do that work and figure it out, then it's never going to happen. But, our conversation, that the one conversation that happened, it was, she was upset. I went to go pick up my stepkids' school stuff to start off distance learning. This was in August. And she was expecting my ex-husband, so she was upset when she saw me. And that was probably his bad because he's just like, I'm on my way, not Kelly's on her way. And so it ended up being a conversation there. And she was really upset and she said, I can't give you this stuff. And I always approach her as like, let me kill her with kindness, right? Like, she's going to be mad. Like, I can't change that, right? But I can control what I do and I can control my energy. Like, I either match the energy or I bring the energy, and I choose to bring the energy. Mm-hmm. And so so she's like, I can't give you this stuff. And I said, okay. And mind you, the kids started school the next day. And I said, okay, that's fine. You and my husband can figure it out. Like, I just thought it would be helpful. I'm already on the road. And then sure enough, she kind of stopped me after she had a phone conversation with my husband. And then, you know, a lot of it was about school, but one of the things that she asked me, she said, did you guys cheat? Like, almost like this had been like a burning question, right? And I said, look, honestly, I could tell you yes, I could tell you no, but what is that going to change for you? You know, I said, I think that there's a lot of unresolved, like, there was no, how do you say that? When, no closure. There you go. Mm-hmm. So my husband had never given her the time of day since the divorce. Like, he would just rather not. He just feels like I can't force, there's another quote. I like quotes and sayings. Uh-huh. There's another one that's like, you can't make, like, why have a conversation with somebody that's committed to misunderstanding you, uh-huh. right? And that's how yeah. he feels. And so he would just rather not. And so I said, I think there needs to be a conversation between you and my husband, and you guys need to sit down and you guys need to have this conversation, because I don't think it's me. Like, I really felt like there was so much that she needed to speak to him about. So Christina, I literally helped make it happen. Oh. I helped make it happen. I said, here's what you need to do. I said, you need to pick a weekend. Tell me when you're available. I said, it could be a weekend that we have the kids that way. Because that was another thing she was saying. I don't have help. I don't have a partner, because at the time she didn't. I don't have a partner. I don't, you know, and I said, great. Pick one of our weekends. I will send him on his merry way and you guys can have a sit down conversation. And they did that. And it lasted for like 2 hours. And there was no forward growth. My husband really? Got home and I said, cool, like, what's the game plan moving forward? And he's like, I don't know. I said, how do you sit there and talk to her for 2 hours and you guys don't even have, like, okay, this is what we're going to do better, right? And she loves to say that he is a terrible communicator, but the reality is that they're both terrible at communicating. So that just went nowhere. But
so I have a question. So when you came home and you were like, hey babe, I kind of volunteered you for something, like, how did that go? I just need to know that, because my husband would shit himself if he'd be like, I don't freaking think so. Like, I will die before that happens.
Well, there wasn't words, so it's hard to say because it's recording, but he just kind of like did the like, you know, the eye roll thing. Wow. But here's what I do think. I think that he knows that his kids with bio mom pick up on this tension that they have and this terrible co-parenting relationship. So I think he's all for trying because of them. Like, he does not like that. They are so tense. Like, he doesn't like that when they're, you know, mm-hmm. And so if this could be the step in the right direction, he's like, all right, let's figure it out. So that was his reaction. But when her and I had the conversation, right, where I'm setting this up for them, I closed the conversation by saying, I hope that you can appreciate that your kids are loved and well taken care of when they're at my house, because that's how I feel when my daughters go with their dad, you know, like, I know that they're okay. And she said, yeah, I can appreciate that. And I said, okay, like, you have my number. You can text me, call me whenever you want, like, but the ball's in your court. I said, I don't want to pressure you to move forward or whatever. You know, if you don't want to, right? Mm-hmm. And so she said, okay, thank you. And so I figured like, okay, she says my husband's terrible at communicating. Maybe she'll reach out to me. Like when it comes, you know, the start of distance learning was a crazy time for everyone. So I thought that she would want to be, you know, in communication about distance learning, right? And so for the first 2 weeks of distance learning, I was sending her videos. I was, you know, staying in contact and everything. And I would get like a thumbs up icon or like a, hey, thanks. And then after 2 weeks, I just felt like a nanny or like a babysitter. And I said, okay, like I'm done reaching out. And so I stopped with those text messages, but she hasn't reached out since. And so I just feel like there's not much more that I can do there. Like it has to be when she's ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's kind of, I mean, that's where we get to that point, I think, eventually where, you know, it's like, I am going above and beyond to show you that I am taking care of your kids and, you know, I'm a good person and I have good intentions. And then, you know, they just want nothing to do about it. And I mean, it's again, interesting the way that you wear these two hats in that, you know, you showed up to her door wanting, you know, the school stuff, and she didn't know that you were there. You didn't know that your ex's, you know, girlfriend was going to be here. And it's like, you've experienced on both ends of just kind of being like, oh,
yes. You know, yes.
So I think the moral of the story in that scenario is maybe it would be good to let bio mom know how, you know, what's going down. But at least in my case, it's not like asking permission. It's just, hey, just a heads up out of courtesy. This is what you can expect.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Like, so we're going to take a break. And okay. When we come back, I'm going to ask questions about ours baby stuff. I want to know about your custody schedule. I want to know how all of that is, how you manage 7 kids. So
yes,
we will be right back after this break.
All right, Radical Mamas, I want to talk about the first resource I found as a stepmom. Stepmom Magazine was a game changer for how I navigate this role. It's an online magazine with articles from all the top step parenting experts on all things stepmom. Each issue is packed with insights, tips, and validation from licensed therapists, published authors, and stepfamily professionals who know and live the stepmom life. Stepmom Magazine also has ebooks specific to special topics like disengaging, being a full-time stepmom, parental alienation, and so much more. They are all available to download right now. I subscribed years ago and is exactly what I needed to feel less alone and more supported. Getting that monthly email telling me the new issue is out is like getting a warm hug from another stepmom. To subscribe, head to stepmommagazine.com and use the code RADICAL20 to save 20%. If you find something that makes you say, yes, hell yes, me too, send me a DM on Instagram and let me know. I love hearing from you. Again, that's stepmommagazine.com and use the code RADICAL20 to save you 20%.
All right, Kelly. So with 7 kids, mm-hmm. What is the custody schedule between your ex and your husband's kids? And how does that all happen?
All right. So 7 kids, our oldest is 11 and our youngest is 2. So they're pretty little. but my custody schedule with my ex-husband, so my ex-husband and I have 2 daughters, a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old. And we're actually pretty flexible. So he will stick to every Wednesday overnights, he gets them. And then he also has them every other weekend. And then he will also get them every other Monday, he'll get them overnight. But now that extracurriculars are kind of picking up again, we're just super flexible. Like, both of our daughters have gymnastics on Monday, gymnastics Wednesday, and then softball on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And that's just the 2 of them. So you could imagine it's like, okay. The great thing is that we live 5 minutes away from each other. So you could imagine he's just like, hey, I'll be there at 5. I'm picking up this one. And I'm like, okay, I'll take the other one here. Meanwhile, my amazing husband is like staying home with the rest of the clan, you know, holding down the fort. So we have to be really flexible in that sense. So that is our custody schedule. And then my husband and his ex-wife, they are very stick to the T. Like if you veer off that, then no, it's a hot mess.
With high conflict, that's kind of needed. So
yes,
yeah, that makes sense.
Uh-huh. So with him, he has every Monday, Tuesday, she has every Wednesday, Thursday. And then I know. And then they alternate.
So 2-2-5.
Yes. There you go. That's what it's called. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it was up to me, I would do a week on, week off, because there's just so much back and forth. And I feel like we, during distance learning and during the summer, it feels like more of a transition. Whereas during the school year, they're picked up from school. Right. So it's not necessarily like a house transition, but there's so much back and forth for them. So, I mean, that's his schedule. But with distance learning, we're both teaching from home. And so we have them Monday through Friday for distance learning, and she'll come pick them up Wednesday after work, bring them back to us Thursday morning. And then she picks them up Thursday after work. So it just, yeah, it really feels like a lot. But that is their schedule. And I guess it kind of works out because they are also involved in extracurriculars. So one of them does gymnastics with mine. One does jujitsu, and then the other one is like in singing lessons. But we have to cram it all in. Mondays for his three anyways, it has to take place Monday, Tuesday, or on our weekends.
Because she won't do it, or...
She won't do it. We don't ask her to pay for it because we already know that would be a burden. So we don't ask her to pay for it, but she won't transport. She doesn't even ask for info so that she can drop in at the classes. I think she just kind of refuses to come out our way. It's like a 25-30 minute drive. Mm-hmm. So
let's talk about sibling relationships. So with so many different, I mean, this is like blended.
Yes.
So you have all seven right now.
Correct.
How often does it happen where you have all seven?
So Mondays, Tuesdays, we have all seven. Wednesdays, we only have our babies. Thursdays, we have my babies, meaning all four of mine. Mm-hmm. And then we share the same weekends. So every other weekend, we'll either have our two R's babies or all seven. And the dynamic between the two, or sorry, between the seven is absolutely amazing. Oh. And I cannot be more grateful because they get along so well. Like there's five girls, two boys. They absolutely love each other.
I love that.
Yeah,
it's like, it's
really cool.
It's so great that, I mean, even though I'm sure it's hard that you have seven under 11, but it's like the fact that they're so close in age, like they're truly growing up together. That's really cool. How do you explain? So let's talk about R's baby stuff. So your R's babies are 2 and 3. Three. So how are they understanding where the siblings go? Cause my daughter's 3. And she knows, oh, brother's going to his other mama's house, or I miss my brothers. He had his other mama's house. Like that's how she understands it right now. Do you have to kind of navigate the emotions of the littles when they're missing siblings, or do they just kind of see it as that's just their schedule and it's no different?
Yeah. Honestly, on the weekends that we only have ours babies, they love it because they get all our love and attention, and they we actually go places, right? Because when we have all seven, I'm like, nope, not. We That's actually expensive. Have to take two cars, Christina. We have to take two cars when we go somewhere because we don't have a car that fits everyone. So, and yes, it gets very expensive. So unless it's like a park trip or something, we literally go nowhere on the weekends with all seven. So they enjoy those weekends. And then as far as their like feelings, what they do like to do is they love to run outside and greet either bio mom or my ex-husband, right? And so I mentioned earlier that they'll run out and they'll give my ex-husband a big hug and they're like, hi, you know, and they just love it. So they do look forward to that. And there's been times that he's been in a hurry and so they can't say hi. And so they'll freak out about that. And then for bio mom, they do the same thing, but they get ignored. So they'll like run out there, you know, on the sidewalk and she's like pulled up on the curb and they're like, hi, hi, but there's no,
she doesn't acknowledge them at all.
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. At least our bio mom could put on a fake face where it's actually, my daughter's like the little buffer when it comes to these interactions, like where my, you know, she's like being all cute and like, look, I got new shoes and whatever. And the bio mom, she's just like, oh wow, that's great. Like, oh, you know, and I'm just like, you hate this.
Stop lying, but thanks. And no, what I have heard as a response is like, because obviously the three run out, and so they don't all three run out at the same time when bio mom gets there. But what I have heard was like, oh, she's saying bye to you. You know, like she kind of turns it to the siblings and make it seem like that, but she won't. She'll acknowledge them over FaceTime though. Like if the kids are FaceTiming, my 3-year-old will say, I want to see your mom. And so they're like, mom, she wants to talk to you. And then I'll hear her, you know, hi. But in person, no. And it's the same with me. Like if I ever walk out, on Wednesdays, we cross paths because she picks up and I leave at the same time. And I always just, you know, like I said, bring the energy and I always just wave. And if she waves, great. And if not, that's fine too, but that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah. At least you're consistent with your kindness. You know, she's always the one that looks like the bitter person.
Yes.
So let me ask this because I always get asked this when it comes to RS baby stuff. So one, when you got pregnant with your RS baby, how did you talk to the kids, tell the kids, how did bio mom find out? How was that experience?
So we got pregnant back to back. When I got pregnant with my 3-year-old, we had just bought, I think the day that we moved in and we were able to start painting and stuff, we found out that we were pregnant with her. And so all the hype was there of like, oh, we get a new house and we're moving in together and we get to share this space with each other. And so honestly, they were excited, when, you know, we told them and we just kind of sat them all down. And so they were pumped. They started like throwing out all these names. I'm like, nope.
Macaroni salad.
I know, exactly. Like, no, we are not naming her any of those names. And then honestly, bio mom, I'm sure the kids told her, but I don't remember. It's so funny. I say the kids, but that's how I relate to them. So my ex-husband's kids, I mean, my husband's kids, they're the kids because there's boys and girls, right? Uh-huh. My kids with my ex-husband are the girls and then the babies.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Although my 3-year-old now is like, I'm not a baby. I'm like, okay, well.
Oh my God. Mine does that too. And I'm like, really, really? You just, until you want something and then you're like, but mama. Yeah.
So I'm sure the kids told bio mom about the pregnancy. I don't remember much, but I do remember her texting my husband saying, oh, congrats on the baby. Or she said like, congrats on the baby girl, or I don't know, something like that.
Oh, so there was no formal like announcement to her. No. And that's the thing. Like I get asked that a lot and it's like, I think it's completely situational, honestly. Sometimes again, with that, like courtesy, like, hey, just a heads up, you know, might, you know, drop a whatever in the bucket of maybe this will contribute to a better relationship. Maybe she would appreciate this. Other times it's like, we don't know her shit. So right. I don't want to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will say though, with my ex-husband, I did give him a heads up.
See, there you go. Better relationship.
Yeah. That, and also our oldest, she had been in this, she was having a really hard time, like the first two, 3 years, of our divorce. And she just really felt like my husband was going to like take the place of dad. And so she was having a hard time. And so I think when she found out about the pregnancy, it was even more of a, oh my gosh, it's happening, you know? And so I was talking to my ex-husband about it just because of her emotions. So we kind of handled that together, and then we sit her down together, and I mean, it all works out, but I'm just like, see, like, it is just so amazing. All those amazing
things amazing things that happen when two grown ass adults can be mature and put their kid first.
Yes, absolutely.
Shocking. Brilliant. Shocking. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So with all of this going on, you, Kelly, all the hats that you wear, what do you do for you? Like, how do you manage all this? How's your relationship with your husband? Cause I imagine that there's a lot of like ups and downs, stresses, but you know, you're glowing. So I imagine you're happy, you know, like it's like, how do you stay sane?
Yes. So my husband and I are actually amazing. Like, and when I was telling you at the beginning that he is just like my soulmate, my twin flame, like we don't crave time away. Like, I seriously mean that. Like, he is just like my bestie. and so he is absolutely supportive. He, like if there's something that I'm not liking with the dynamic between, like, you know, with my stepmom hat, or if it's something one of his kids said to me, like he is just full-on supportive. Like, there are no complaints at all. Like, if I if I set up a meeting with him and his ex-wife, like like he'll just run with it, you know. And I think he knows it's because my heart is in a good place and like my intentions are good. And so when it comes to my relationship with him, he is just nothing but supportive, and I feel super grateful for that.
We need that if we're going to be like successful, fulfilled, happy stepmoms. Like, have yet to meet a stepmom that disagrees.
Yes. It's so important. What else? So I guess, how do I stay sane? So, you know, I had a really hard time. Like the first, so it's been 5 years. I want to say the first 2 to 3 years, I was angry, like angry, Christina, because he had to pay an arm and a leg in child support. When they split, she was a stay-at-home mom. He was the only one making money. And then they were little. The youngest was 2. Then they had a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And so the kids were pretty little. She, you know, and the judge sees it as, well, we're not going to, she's been a stay-at-home mom. Like, why is that going to change now just because you guys are getting divorced, you know? So my husband had to pay so much money in child support to the point that we couldn't do what we wanted to do. Like, I couldn't even sign my daughters up for extracurriculars without like asking my parents for help, because we were just like in over our heads. Mm-hmm. And, that brought out a lot of anger in me. And so I spent a lot of time the first 3 years, like on our weekends, and mind you, when it's our weekends, it's also my kids there, right? I would go in my room and I would lock the door and I would sit in there for hours. And I would just be like, no, like I'm not putting effort into them for what? Like, and I was mad, right? And so this is how I was dealing with it. And every once in a while, like my girls would like come knock on the door and be like, hey mom, what you doing? And like, obviously they don't realize, you know, like how I'm actually feeling. And I was okay with that. Like, cool, they'll check in with me. Like, and then they leave again. Like, great, that's all I need, you know? And then I use my pregnancy as an excuse. Like, oh, I'm just pregnant, I'm tired. Like, I'm in my bed, you know? Mm-hmm. And my husband knew like why I was in a mood. And so he would just let me be and let me be in my mood. But that's how I spent a lot of my weekends. And then on the weekends that we didn't have them, I would be like, cool, like, let's have fun. Like, here you go. Like, your wife's back again, you know? And, that was hard for me. And so at one point I finally decided, like, I have a really good friend. I also consider her like my mentor. But she often says, like, you can either be powerful or you can be pitiful, but you can't be both. Like, at some point you need to decide, like, are you going to keep letting this child support situation that you have no control over run you down to the ground, right? Like, when you should be loving this time with your kids, you have a great husband that supports you. Like, you have everything you asked for, right? Like, I chose divorce. I chose to get pregnant with my husband. We chose to buy this house. Like, this is everything that I wanted, and I'm pissed, right? And so keeping that in mind, I decided to grab life by the horns and really just create a second stream of income through network marketing and really dive into this community of women that were just on this personal growth journey. And I think because of that is how I stay sane and how I show up for myself, right? And so I mentioned earlier that I'm a PE teacher, right? But I noticed that I was losing my love of moving my body, right? And so by making the decision to be powerful and grabbing life by the horns, I started getting all of this back. And I said, nope, like, you're going to wake up. You're going to say positive things to yourself, right? Because your mind responds to that. Like, and there's times where I still wake up and I'm just like, like, this is going to be the worst day ever. Like, we have all the kids. Like, I'm so tired already, you know? And then from the second I open my eyes, like, I already decided how my day is going to go. And so, you know, so I wake up and I say these positive affirmations in the morning, like, you're going to have a great day. Like, you have a roof over your head, you have a full-time job, you have a side hustle, all of these things are doing great. Like, get after it, right? And then I'll work out with my class, whereas at the beginning of the school year, I wasn't doing that. I was kind of almost like coaching them, right? Like, if you think of, like, your, I know you mentioned CrossFit, like, your CrossFit coaches are not doing the workout with you, right? They're coaching you. And so I took this approach, but I say, you know what, I'm not getting much of a response anyways with my students. They all have their cameras off. I'm staring at these little tiles anyways, like, let's go. So, you know, I started using that, and I have three classes a day. So I do my workouts with all of them. And, yeah, so I, you know, are you familiar with the 75 hard challenge?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so that's another thing that I did to sort of add to this personal growth. But yeah, I'm actually 10 days away from completing the challenge, and I feel amazing.
Wow, 75 days. What do you do in these 75 days?
So you have to do 5 things every day for 75 days in order to complete the challenge. So one of them is drink a gallon of water every day.
Well, that's why you're like guzzling water over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm drinking my hard cider.
I'm jealous of your drink. Yes, that is absolutely why. And I have to pee every 30 seconds. So a gallon of water every day. You have to work out twice a day for 45 minutes. And one of the workouts has to be outdoors, and they have to be 2 separate workouts. You have to follow a diet. So they don't tell you what diet. You can do whatever, for whatever your goals are, right? So I love fast food. So my diet of choice was just to cut all processed foods. And I'm absolutely obsessed with Diet Coke. I would literally have like 6 Diet Cokes a day. yes. And so I cut all that, like, no alcohol, no caffeine, no processed foods, no nothing. You have to take a picture every day, like a progress picture. You don't have to post it. You just have to take it for yourself. And then probably my favorite is that you have to read 10 pages of a self-help book. Yeah. And so what he says in his podcast, I forget his last name. But what he says is that this is going to be a whole mental change and mental reset for you. The physical changes are going to happen for sure, but it's going to be a total mental reset. And that's absolutely 100% what has happened.
Damn. So, I'm kind of inspired. I'm a little ambivalent. Like, this is like pre-contemplation stage right now. I'm a nerd, so that's the stages of motivation here. But I'm inspired. I'm intrigued. I'm going to look into this.
Yes, I highly recommend it.
I would probably start it after my birthday on Saturday.
Good idea.
Let's just be real. But yeah, that's awesome. And I love that. I love talking to stepmoms as people and as women. And that's the thing that I try and remind women, that like, you are so much more than your role. And this is something that you've taken on, but it's not all of who you are. And we will be better stepmoms if we take care of ourselves. We will be better moms, friends, wives, you know, daughters, all of that, if we, you know, dedicate time and energy and thoughtfulness to working on ourselves. Because just because you have a family doesn't mean that, you know, all of your energy and that selflessness that moms, you know, like in the 50s had, like, oh, those moms were really depressed. And that's why they smoked all the time. And, you know, they created the rage of divorce and shit. So, you know, we have to really find, whether it's a challenge like that, whether it's, you know, starting with going for walks. And, you know, I, you know, there's certain things that I have recently like committed to, where I'm like, wow, on the weeks that I have my stepson, I really like my depression and my anxiety like kick in, and I'm just like, this is not good for me. And when I'm home doing the remote learning and I get overwhelmed with, you know, cause I also work full time and then I have my side hustle. So it's like, you know, I just get very, I get bitter, and I have to realize like, I'm the one that's making these decisions. I also have to tend to myself and, you know, find the things that really inspire me. So kudos to you, girl. Like you have 5 days left. Uh-oh, where'd you go?
Nope. Oh, there you are. I heard kudos to you.
Yeah. Do you said you have 5 days left?
10 days. We're 10 days out. Yeah.
Okay.
But
did your husband do it with you?
Yes, he is, which has been, I'm telling you, he's so dreamy, right? If it wasn't for him, I would have kicked the cat a long time ago, because he's the one that cooks for us most of the time. Like, he's just better in the kitchen than I am, and he enjoys being in the kitchen. So he makes dinner regardless. But if it wasn't for him coming up with our meals, I would have given up already, because
like Mickey D's.
Yes, yes, yes. Especially the first 2 weeks when my body was like detoxing and I had a crazy headache. Like, I'm tired of eating sweet potatoes. Like, what else can I eat? But yeah, so on, also to touch on more of like the how I keep myself sane, right? Because it's really hard. And this is honestly a question I get from my friends a lot. I was talking to one of my friends before we started recording. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm going to record a podcast and I'm totally fangirling. And I said, I need to catch my breath. And she's like, I still don't know how you do it. She's like, I have two. I have no idea how you do it with seven. And that's what I hear a lot, right? But I really credit it to just like finding your people, right? And I also have this, I just randomly started it on a whim on Instagram. Like, it was a stepmom, like three-part series. And I just said, whoever wants to show up, show up. And I ended up getting like eight solid, I think there's actually 10 now, stepmoms. And we meet once a month and we just vent, or we, have conversations. So that has been a really cool outlet for me.
Find your community.
Yes, absolutely. And then also stepping back, and I hear you talk about this a lot too on your Instagram page. And so at the beginning, I mentioned that I was like super gung-ho with distance learning and homework and, you know, sending all the pictures and all the videos. And now I do absolutely nothing. Like, I don't check their work. I don't check their grades. Like, I am just in a much better place when I take 10 steps back. And part of my thought process on this was, there's some things that I wish my husband would care more about when it came to like co-parenting, or when it comes to like homework, or when it comes to communicating with teachers, or whatever the case is. And so I didn't want to keep hounding him, right? Like, you have to do this and you have to send this message and you want to send this email. And I'm just like, no. And so now my mindset is, if he doesn't care enough to take the initiative, then why should I, you know? And that is kind of where I'm at now. And I'm enjoying it and it's worked so much better. And I feel like disengaging can be super hard sometimes. Like, I know that you said you were, you guys use like a family email, right? Where you see the emails also. I could never, because I would just not be able to put the phone down. Like, I would just constantly want to have the last word. And so for me, just disengaging 110% when it comes to, you know, school and whatever, and then even extracurriculars. And I'm just like, you know what, if he is excited for them to be in extracurriculars, like, he's going to be like, hey, I signed so-and-so up on this day. Like, I need you to say, okay, cool, let's do it. But for me to do the legwork, and so it's been really cool. And what I'm working through lately, and I kind of touched on this earlier, was I don't want my husband to lose a part of me when his kids are present. And I still struggle with that from time to time. Like, I feel like he gets the best version of me when his kids are not in our house, whether it's my four or my two. Because oftentimes you feel like you're walking on eggshells, right? Or like, there's this fine line when you get upset at somebody. You can't get upset at your kid the same way you get upset at your stepkid, you know? And so it's, you're just like, yes, like, I can finally breathe, right?
Be me without all the overthinking. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And so I'm really working through that. But I, like I said, those positive affirmations in the morning, as soon as I wake up, and just even gratitude, right? Like, I get to wake up today. I get to move my body today. I get to be home with my kids today. Like, those have all been really big game changers in keeping my sanity, you know, and just showing up the best version of me, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like if we're going to be successful, you know, we have to find something. We have to find something that we can latch onto, because, you know, especially full-time stepmoms that don't get a break, that don't get a transition, that don't, you know, like, you have to find a way to feel grounded, to a way to feel yourself, the person you were before you took on this family. Yeah, it's super important. That's the inner work. That's kind of like the theme of this episode, is like the inner work that everyone needs to do. Everyone.
Absolutely. I'm all about that inner work.
Well, this was an amazing conversation. I feel like we could just keep chatting and chatting and chatting. I always ask some random question at the end of an episode. I just remembered. But I got asked a question today, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask Kelly this question. So, how do you feel about, and I don't know if your bio mom does this, would do this, but how would you feel if she was like sending photos to your ex of like the life before, like when they were still together, like reminiscing, or, you know, just kind of like crossing that respect line?
Like a picture of like her and him, like, or like a picture of like when the kids
when they were little, like before, when they were still together, or has that happened?
It's actually happened a few times, but it comes from his daughter's phone. So it always, yes. So it always sounds like when we don't have his kids, right? It's like during our off time. And he'll get a text from his 11-year-old's phone. And it'll be like her when she was like 2 years old and she's like sitting on a horse or something, right? And then he'll show me the phone and kind of like do this eye roll thing. And I'm like, oh, they must be going back in time. Yeah. Again. And then we just kind of have the conversation. Like, why? Like, what do you think? Especially because my 11-year-old, I can tell she's just been so affected in general. But that's a whole other conversation. And so I just asked my husband, like, what do you think the purpose of this is? Like, how does she think that this is beneficial to just like sit there and go through this old box of photos, you know? And my husband just like, I don't know. He's what you call like a man of few words, right? but he's big on the eye roll, and then he'll just, you know, he'll text his daughter back like, oh, cute. But he doesn't engage in it too much. But it's happened like two or three times. It's never happened from, actually it has happened from her phone. But I don't think he responds.
Yeah. It's happened for us a few times where like, bio mom was like, I think she was moving apartments or doing something, and she like text my husband and was like, hey, I'm going through these photos. I have duplicates. Do you want them? And my husband was just like, no, I have them already. Like,
yeah,
I ordered them too. Like, I don't need them. Like, or something stupid like that, where like, yeah, I want your Ziploc baggie of shit. Like, you know, like stuff that I already have. Like, I have my own pictures of, you know, his like early preschool days or whatever. So,
you know what my favorite is actually, is when, my 11-year-old stepdaughter a few years ago, she had her first communion, and so they have the photographer set up, you know, and we took like a family picture, and then it was like that awkward, like, you know, pause thing, and then the daughter was like, oh, daddy, come take a picture with us. And he's like, it's just like, you're stuck, you know? And everybody's like my husband's parents are around, and so he's like, okay, whatever. So they take a picture of, it's bio mom, my husband, and their three kids, right? And it is the most awkward thing ever. And like, for me, it doesn't like get my blood boiling, but here's what does. Before we blocked each other on social media, she posted it, right? And of course it's like, anything for my baby, or like any, or you know, something along those lines,
trying to portray this beautiful co-parenting like facade.
And then all the comments underneath are like, oh, you're such a good mom, or oh, you're able to put that all aside, and I'm just like, stop it.
That is why when people send me, or like, there's like accounts that are like blended families that, you know, make it work or whatever, like people will send me them and be like, what do you think of this? And I'm like, it's probably bullshit. It's probably
right. And you know, funny thing is that my ex-husband and I get along great, right? We mentioned that. And I barely ever post him. And I probably have every right to, or every story to tell when it comes to him. But I'm like, for what? You know, like, I know what it is. Yeah. So it's just so funny. And then after he saw that, I think they did like a Chuck E. Cheese birthday party, right? And now they don't do anything joint, mind you, but this was a few years ago, and he shows up at the Chuck E. Cheese birthday party, and she's like literally following him around Chuck E. Cheese. And this is, you know, coming from him when he gets home, because I chose to sit it out. I said, nope, like, I don't have the mental capacity to attend. I'm super pregnant. Like, no. Uh-huh. And, so he comes home, and she's like, yeah, she kept like coming up to me while I was playing with the kids, 'cause she was sitting at the table and he was, you know, taking the kids around playing the games. And she kept trying to snap a picture of me. And he's like, I kept telling her no. And her comment was like, what, you're not allowed to? And so it's that kind of thing. And he's like, no, I just don't want to take a picture for you. Like, and then he says like, I know she's just going to post it and act like it's something it's not, like, for what? So
we can see right through that.
Yes. That is what bothers me more so than the reminiscing in text messages.
Yeah. The fakeness. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow, Kelly, this was a pleasure. I super appreciate you coming on, sharing your story. I know, like, I mean, there's so many relevant things in here. Like, girl, you got it going on. So thank you so much
for having me. Like I said, I was floored when you asked me. I'm like, yes, I love her. She just posts and she talks to me every time she puts up a post. It's for me.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. All right, ladies. I hope you enjoyed. As always, be well and stay radical.
All right, ladies, the episode is over, but do you want a little more? come find me on Instagram and join the community at Radical Stepmoms Podcast, or schedule a one-on-one session and get that personalized support, or become a Radical member and gain access to exclusive content like bonus episodes and merch. Radical Stepmoms is so much bigger than a podcast. Check out the details in the notes on this episode.